Right now it's time for my July book review. And over vacation, I had started a book called When the Heavens Went on Sale, and I'm almost done with that now. But wherever I vacation, I like to read about the region that I'm in. I remember one of my best experiences was the only time I ever went to Hawaii. This was 20 years ago, and I read a book about Captain James Cook's adventures in the Pacific.
Mm.
And it was such a great experience to be sitting there on the beach and reading about this, you know, happened whatever, 500 years ago, and looking out on the water and imagining it happening in the very place that I was reading,
yeah,
vacationing. So I went to a local bookstore in Santa Fe when we were in New Mexico for summer sabbatical, and they've got a section that's got, you know, of local interest. And I saw this book about the Pueblo Revolt. And all of that happened right there in Santa Fe and in New Mexico. And I've always heard about the Pueblo Revolt, but never really knew anything about it. So I bought the book and I put the other book on hold. And I wanted to read this book because as I'm sitting there reading it, looking at this landscape, this is where all of this happened. And a quick course on Native American tribes. There were two types of tribes, and we'll just kind of keep it in this region of the Southwest, Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, Colorado, New Mexico, Arizona, Utah. There were nomadic tribes like the Apaches and the Comanches, and there were Pueblo tribes. There were about 60 Pueblo tribes from mainly Colorado through New Mexico over to Arizona. Today, there are about 15 of them remaining, 15 actual Pueblos. The Pueblos were, in many ways, the most advanced of all indigenous peoples because they built little villages, they did some primitive farming, they made pottery, they created artwork and told stories through petroglyphs on walls, this artwork on these walls around their Pueblos. And they were much more peaceful than some of the famous nomadic tribes. Religion was a huge part of their culture. They had a kiva, which was a gathering place in every Pueblo where they would get together and worship. And religion was at the heart of this revolt. The Spanish brought Catholicism with them, and they attempted to stamp out any native religion. And this was all about the Pueblo people who were settled. They didn't, you know, like the Apaches and Comanches, they would settle in one spot maybe for a month and then pick up and go somewhere else, and depending on weather and, you know, resistance and things like that.
Mm.
But the Pueblos stayed in their Pueblos, their little villages. But then came the Spanish. And while Christopher Columbus was discovering the eastern part of the country, you know, he landed on the East Coast. About 50 years later, the Spanish, led by Coronado, came up from Mexico. So while all of that initial discovery was going on the East Coast, long before any Euros crossed the Mississippi River, Coronado was already exploring and conquering the New Mexico, Arizona, Colorado portion of the Southwest, you know, what would become those states.
So this is like 1500s?
1500s.
Okay.
About 50 years after Columbus. Coronado first came up from Mexico, and in the late 1500s, they conquered the Pueblo people. The Pueblos were no match for the Spanish horses and guns and armies. And what it took, number one, just focusing on the Spaniards, what it took for Coronado and the like other conquistadors to drag a giant party up from Mexico to New Mexico back in the 1500s and 1600s. This is a description of another conquistador, Onate, and the expedition that he led in 1598. And it writes, the author of this book, The Pueblo Revolt, is David Roberts.
Okay.
And this book is about 20 years old. And he writes, Onate set out from the northern outpost of Santa Barbara in Mexico in early January 1598 at the head of the largest expedition since Coronado's to enter what is now the American Southwest. No complete roster of the party has survived, but scholars have deduced its general makeup. There were some 560 future colonists in the entourage, including at least 129 soldiers. There were Native American servants also that swelled the population, but a large number of women and children, though the latter remains virtually undocumented. Onate himself did bring along his 8-year-old son. Like Coronado, Onate drove a herd of livestock north to provide food for his pilgrims, mounts to ride, and beasts of burden to carry supplies. All told, some 7,000 cattle, sheep, goats, oxen, donkeys, mules, and horses.
Dang.
So you have, roughly 700 people and 7,000 cattle, sheep, goats, oxes, and horses.
That's a lot to herd.
He was also burdened with a veritable warehouse of tools and goods with which the settlers might craft their future homesteads, from plowshares to saws, hammers to hoes, cotton bolts to medicine chests, and the tidy sum of 13,500 nails. There were enough guns among the soldiers to require 18 barrels of gunpowder, and for good measure they dragged along 3 bronze cannons. At the same time, bent on peaceful trading, he hoarded 80,000 glass beads, as well as many other trinkets. The 8 Franciscan friars and 2 lay brothers among the party carried rosaries and sacred images made of tin to help facilitate conversations. So they had to transport all of this, men, women, children, on 80 wagons and carts drawn by oxen. And the whole trip, which was about 700 miles, took about 5 months. So in some cases, they're just moving a few miles a day. All of that, what a beatdown.
That's a lot. And we're hitting mountains at some point?
Hitting desert, you're hitting harsh weather.
I always wonder that for those explorers and those settlers and how they did that, how they navigated through that kind of terrain.
Just amazing. But this story about the Pueblo Revolt, it's one of the great, mostly untold stories of something significant that happened in American/North American history. It happened in 1680, and it is the only time in history that Native Americans fought back and won on a big scale, winning their way of life back. Now, there have been famous little battles, the Battle of Little Bighorn, for example, Custer's Last Stand, where northern tribes took down his cavalry in Montana. But the Pueblo Revolt stands as the only time that Native Americans, who have been oppressed for, in this case, over 100 years, fought back, won their independence back, drove, in this case, the Spanish out of New Mexico and regained their way of life. The Pueblos organized very surreptitiously this revolt, sending 2 young men who were runners up and down to each Pueblo with a message to attack the Spanish in Santa Fe pre-dawn on a certain day. And the Spanish had no idea. They basically, after oppressing these Pueblos for 100 years, they fell asleep at the wheel. They didn't think there was any chance of a revolt happening.
Yeah.
So they caught him by surprise. It was organized by a Pueblo leader named Pope. How long did it last? Well, they drove the Spanish out of Santa Fe and out of New Mexico, back down to Mexico. But their independence lasted only 12 years before the reconquest happened. But they at least drove the Spanish away, fought back and won, and had 12 years of freedom. But even though they fought to keep their freedom mostly, in many ways, the Pueblo tribes had grown used to some of the things that the Spanish brought with them that made life easier.
Internet.
Internet.
AC.
In terms of farming and horses and irrigation. And so some of the tribes were actually okay with the reconquest. They were like, yeah, we had it pretty good. I mean, they were oppressing us.
What have the Romans ever done for us?
Exactly.
Being oppressed.
When the reconquest happened, it was led by a conquistador named Don Diego de Vargas. And he tried a more peaceful approach, and that for the most part worked. He just went back in, and he didn't come in guns a-blazing like the other conquistadors.
He built that ride for them, that ship that swings back and forth.
That's the first thing I think of when I hear conquistadors.
Six Flags.
So simple my mind is.
Get the Pueblo entertained.
But a few, during the Reconquest, a few of the tribes did fight back. And I've never really thought about this, but I found this interesting, that one of their best ways of defending themselves and fighting back, they'd be in their Pueblo. They would get word the Spanish were coming. And they would go to a mesa. If you've ever driven through the American Southwest, there are mesas everywhere, these flat tabletop mountains. Some of them are 500 feet up. Some of them are 1,000 feet up. Well, the Pueblos would climb these mesas. They would get on top, and they would wait. And they could see 360 degrees. They could see the Spanish coming. And when the Spanish would try to take a mesa, they were, number one, not as adept at climbing these rock formations. The Pueblos on top of the mesa would have their arrows and a bunch of big stones, and they would just bombard them as they were climbing up. So the Spanish were defenseless climbing these rocks and getting it from above, stones and arrows, and they, in most cases, could not take the mesas.
Wow.
So it's a great spot to defend yourself.
You know, it's just amazing. I guess this started in the Americas in the 1400s, you say here in the 1500s, watching that American Revolution documentary. You're into the 1700s. We all know what happened in the 1800s. That is centuries of battles and just taking land and from the natives of this country. It went on for a long, long time.
And the Pueblo Revolt is the only time they successfully fought back, got their countryside back, got their Pueblos back, and drove the oppressors out. And there are two ways to know this story. If you're somebody researching it, like the author David Roberts, the written Spanish history of Coronado and Vargas, or the passed down oral history through the Pueblo tribes. But the tribes are very secretive, and much of the book is about Roberts getting turned away at almost every attempt to learn more about the Pueblo's view of the revolt. He thought they'd be proud of it, and they would share the story. The Native American tribes don't write things down, at least the Pueblos. It's all oral history passed down through generations.
Well, that's a game of telephone.
Yes. And he thought they'd be proud of the revolt, but what he eventually learned from many tribal leaders is that it's not a glorified part of their history, that it's actually very painful because there was fighting and bloodshed and massive disruptions to their way of life. So for the most part, they don't talk about it.
They're like, well, I'm not really thinking about that right now.
Yeah, so you have Vargas or Coronado's diaries, you know, that they kept, and so that's a written Spaniard perspective of this revolt and conquest and reconquest.
Dear diary.
But there's nothing written by the Pueblo people, and it's very hard to get anything out of them. They just rarely, rarely talk about it. A lot of this happened. There were three Pueblos in the Galisteo Basin, which is just south of Santa Fe, and today they've cut some mountain bike and hiking trails through there. So I took my mountain bike down there after reading this book, because apparently there's a wealth of petroglyphs still there in the ruins, and I thought I would come across, because the hike, author hiked through the Galisteo Basin and found a lot of these ruins. So I thought I'd come across them on my mountain bike, but I never found anything.
Mm. Really? Did you bring a Sharpie to add to the hieroglyphs?
And draw a bike on there?
Yeah.
But it was cool being in that basin and just looking at all these rock formations and knowing that all of that happened here. And if you've never visited a Pueblo historic site, I visited a couple. Mesa Verde National Park in Colorado is great. You see the cliff dwellings, and same thing at Bandelier in northern New Mexico. And to see these little cities that they carved out, and anytime I'm there, I'm thinking, not a bad way to live.
Yeah.
You're by this stream, and you've got these little apartments that you've made, and these plaza-type areas where everyone can gather. Not a bad way of life.
And the apartments were rent-controlled, you were saying?
Yeah. Couldn't jack up
decent
the rent.
Decent rates, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Good so amenities. Nice gym.
I give the book The Pueblo Revolt by David Roberts 3 stars out of 5. The history lesson alone is, 4 or 5 stars. It gets a little laborious, his constantly talking about running into all these dead ends and how upset he was that no one will talk to him about it.
You were like, just put the fries in the bag. Yeah, come on, get to it.
Just get back to the more of the history lesson. But the history lesson is wonderful, and it's a big part of our history. The Pueblo Revolt by David Roberts is my July book of the month.